Love the words of that praise song. Welcome to worship at Advent. My hope and prayer for you is that today will be a day in which you really grow a step closer to the Lord and appreciate even more what he's done in our lives. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you and grant that we may know and understand what things they ought to do and also may have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The commands of the Lord are easy and light insofar as the deepest rhythms and longings of our soul are in line with God's desires. He wants good and blessing for all his creation and provides the way as we submit our hearts. A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your fathers. If you obey the Lord of God and keep his commandments and decrees that are written in the book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you and beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us, so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim to us, so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 25, found on page 4 in your bulletin. We will read in unison. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions, Remember me according to your love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Gracious and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in his way. He guides the humble in doing right and teaches his way to the lowly. All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Encouraged by the witness of the Church of Colossae, Paul and Timothy continue in their prayers for their brothers and sisters in faith. Would that our prayers be so consistent and powerful for all our own fellow believers. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel, that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we have heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord according to Luke. In a moment I'll be reading from Luke 10. Just want to take you back to what Marcia was reading from Deuteronomy to the Psalms to Colossians. The word talks about doing God's will, live a life that's worthy of his calling, bear fruit, Deuteronomy says that the word is near you, it's in your mouth. You already know what to do. The key is always the heart, that what you do flows out of the heart. Now, I'm just getting very close to the sermon, so I'm going to start, or stop, rather. But in the message in Luke 10, Jesus reflects some of that simple truth. By the way, much of what Jesus taught, you can find glimpses of in Deuteronomy. It's not new. It's just a revelation from the Son that brings power. I'm reading from Luke 10, starting at verse 25. And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What's written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly." And I want to just so badly insert grasshopper, but I won't. "Do this and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, felt compassion. Came to him, bandaged up his wounds, poured oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." And Jesus said to him, "Now go and do the same." The Gospel of our Lord. So this morning, I want to take you into that gospel reading, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I'd like to focus on it from the point of view of the Jewish man who was victimized and try to identify with that, with him, and what that might mean for us. We are called to live and do what the gospel is. Yesterday, my brother and I were out driving, fulfilling some important errands. And my brother made a left-hand turn, was getting ready to make a left-hand turn. And a lady behind him with a Christian symbol on her car, I know, you know where this is going. I don't believe it was any of you. But wasn't happy with where Finn was to make the turn. She rolled down her window, shouted some expletives, gave him the international salute, and drove on. With a little symbol of the fish on the back. And we have all been guilty of not doing what we believe to be God's word. But the concept is, Jesus said, go and bear fruit, fulfill the law. But doing the fulfillment of the law is not ever what's essential. It's what's in the heart. From my heart will flow what is right, what is pleasing to God. And I think that's such an important aspect, even when you are going through really tumultuous times that you know is not the fault of your own behavior or a failure on your part. Proverbs 23:7a says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." Now again, put yourself in the position not of the Good Samaritan, not of those who passed by, but of the victim, what would he think of himself in that position? What would you have thought? It would be easy to ask the question. He was a man of faith. God, why? But instead, the right response when we go through something so difficult is, what do I do now? God, here I am. What do I do now? And a part of what I think is so important is that what you and I think is so much more important in the way that we look at our lives and our response. Whatever that lady in the car that passed us by thought, what was in her head is what exited from her mouth. And that's a challenging thing. We want to bear fruit. We know the word is near us. We want to live according to the word so that our behavior is reflective of what we really do believe. And Jesus said, He said, you go and do the same. But that also applies, I believe, to the victim in his response to what happened to his life. One of my life passages is in Romans 12, where we're told to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Allow God's word to so permeate you. What it's like, one of the things that we've had in the last several weeks, a lot of guests at the house, and we were marinating some chicken in this wonderful marinade that the chicken sat for 24 hours in this rich marinade that actually transformed the taste of the chicken. And to me, that is what God's word can do to us, to our way of thinking, which leads to how we live by soaking in his word on a daily basis, by understanding what it means not to follow the law, but to, out of grateful hearts, live what we know to be what is pleasing to the Lord. And the truth is, for each one of us, life is a series of mountains and valleys, of just unbelievable times and then some difficult ones, of obstacles and opportunities, of great potential, and then a problem comes. That's a part of life. And how we travel through it is how we live out what we believe and how we make an impact in the lives of others. Even when we fail, that we respond in a way that says, you know, I'm a child of God, but I'm forgiven, and I would like your forgiveness as well. Our greatest challenge in dealing with our lives is our perspective. How we look at life and what we face is far more important than the circumstances. Think of the man fallen on the road. He'd lost all of his possessions. Instead of going to why, he and I could ask, Lord, what do I do now? How do I respond? I know that you are a good God. I know that you are near me. God, what do I do now? In 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul, who had been beaten for the faith, who had been threatened with his life, and who probably ultimately died in Rome, says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's a powerful thing to digest. Don't look at the external, focus on the eternal. Doesn't mean that what you see doesn't matter, but if your perspective comes from heaven, from heavenly thinking, it changes how you see the external. I want to read this morning several passages from the book of Psalms. David, who wrote many of them, faced tremendous problems in his life. But after talking with God, after complaining with God, came to some really good conclusions about God's goodness and about his nearness. And the truth is, as you will have to know for yourself, not everything that happens in our life is good. You may never have been assaulted like the man on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, but you've been assaulted in other ways. You've suffered loss. It's a part of the hills and valleys of life. So Everything certainly is not good. What happened to the person rescued by the Good Samaritan was not a good thing, but there was redemption. And in some ways, the Holy Spirit is like the Good Samaritan in our lives. My two key points are that God is good and that he's always near. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will come like the Good Samaritan and bring rescue to a place where I can't rescue myself. God's always good. I want to go back to something that I have talked about many times to you guys in the time that I've been here, was my wife's death and transition to glory, which now happened over 3.5 years ago. For her, that was a really good escape from the pain that she was in and from her depleting physical condition. For me, it wasn't a good thing. But a part of what helped me was understanding for myself, God is always good, he's always near. And I could draw on that goodness and his nearness in my life at a time when I felt vulnerable. In Psalm 31, David says in verse 19, "How great is your goodness! You have stored up for those who honor you. You do good things for those who trust you." Do you trust the Lord? He has stored up good things for you. Doesn't mean that the challenges don't come, but he stored up good things for you to those who honor him and trust him. When life doesn't make sense, when you can't figure it out, it's important to remember that God is a good God. He sees what you don't see, and he knows what you don't know. And whatever it is that you are facing, seeking to connect better with your kids or grandkids, a health challenge you're facing, a sense of failure and defeat, sometimes we are simply powerless. Again, here's what the Psalms say, Psalm 147:5. "How great God is, his power is absolute, his understanding is unlimited." So we focus on what you can't do and start focusing on what God can do. And it's not about charity, it's about grace. It's a part of receiving from the abundance of what Jesus won for us through his life, death, and resurrection. Psalm 69:13-15, I love this. God, talking back to the Lord, "God, because of your great love, answer me. You are truly able to save. Pull me from the mud. Do not let me sink. Do not let the flood drown me." There are situations in life when it can feel like we're in quicksand. There is no way out for ourselves. A good Samaritan, aka the Holy Spirit, sometimes has to come to rescue us. And as we grow healthy in our understanding of doing good, of being fruitful, even though we have been the victim at times, there are times that the Holy Spirit uses you and I to be the Good Samaritan for someone else. Not to earn any extra stripe with God, but simply because we want to live what we believe. We want to do what we believe. It's a powerful reality how God can use personal situations to bring about really great redemption. Most of you will know the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. As a young man, he had a dream that he would have great influence and his brothers would one day come and bow down to him. But he was number 11 or 12. He was kind of like a runt. His brothers resented that their dad seemed to favor him. And so they found a way to get rid of him, throw him in a pit, sell him as a slave to traders who were going to Egypt. It solved their problem temporarily, but ultimately God used a very challenging part of his life to bring about real good for the family of Jacob, for Egypt, and for the future, where during a time of famine, God used him as the second most powerful person in Egypt. And he says to his brothers in Genesis 50, "You meant it for bad, God meant it for good." There are people in your life who have meant something for bad in your life. That happens. It's a part of living in a fallen world. God can transform that thing, whether it's in your family, whether it's at work, whether it's a matter of health. God can transform that thing into something that is really, really good. You remember, we plant God's word in our head, in our heart. God is a good God. He's bigger than any problem that you or I could ever face. We need to not focus on the circumstance and on the other people involved and start focusing on the God who brings redemption, on the God who is like the Good Samaritan, except better, who never leaves or forsakes and uses it for good in our lives. Going from Psalms to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse 27, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is there anything too hard for me? So think about what you're facing. What's the biggest nut you have to crack in your life? The question of Jeremiah is there anything too hard for your God? And the implied answer is, of course not. God specializes in the impossible. In back to the book of Psalms, 112, 4a, light shines in the darkness for the godly. On Sunday mornings, I get up rather early, about between 4:30 and 5 generally, and it's completely dark in the hallway, and since I'm living in a different home, it's important to have light, or I will stumble down the steps, and you will have to come see me to get the sermon. But the concept of Psalm 112 is that in situations in your life, God shines light into that darkness. When you are uncertain about where to go, what to do, His Word, the presence of His Holy Spirit, shines light into your life. A little bit later in 112, verse 7, speaking of the godly, they do not fear bad news. Ever gotten bad news? Absolutely. The godly do not fear bad news. They confident. Let me start over. You have to remember, I'm an immigrant. I'm not so good with words. It's an excuse I've used for decades. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. So even in challenging times, I don't fear the worst because I know that the Lord is good and He is near to my situation. Then one more from Psalm 37, verse 34. Put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along His path. He will honor you by giving you the land. You will see the wicked destroyed. Travel steadily along His path. He has a path for your life. We're told to go step by step. Travel steadily along that path, doing what you know to be right, knowing that your relationship to the Lord is not based on your travel. You're guided by Him. Your relationship with Him is based on what Jesus has done and your reception of Him as your Lord and Savior. But in your life, travel steadily. It doesn't mean that there won't be times that you go up hills and slide down valleys, but it means that traveling steadily along that path will bring you to the goal that the Lord has provided for your life, your eternal home, because of how you live in your life, bearing fruit, keeping the word first in your mind and in your heart. And so, concluding, when you're waiting for the Lord, if you are the victim, if you happen to be the Good Samaritan, don't ask why, but ask, what can I do? God, how can I serve you in this situation? God, in spite of what's happening to me, how can I respond in a way that pleases heaven? So I encourage you today, in some quiet time, think about that. Reflect on the fact that no matter where you are, God is always good and He's always near. To me, that's a powerful reality and a powerful truth, that there cannot be a situation in which heaven says, this is just too big a thing for me to deal with. There's nothing too big. There's nothing that's impossible for God. So we trust Him, and it brings peace and joy to our hearts no matter where we are. So let's continue our time together by standing and sharing our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the People are found on page 6 in your bulletin. We are using Form 3. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church, that we all may be one. Grant that every member of your church may truly and humbly serve you, that your name may be glorified by all people. We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, especially Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops Hollingsworth and Love, and especially Pastor Paul, that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world, that there may be justice and peace on the earth. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake, that our works may find favor in your sight. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble, remembering all those on our prayer list now and in our daily prayers.
They may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest. Let light perpetual shine upon them. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom. Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. Let us pray together the following prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. You know what to do. Peace of the Lord.
That was a really good sermon.
I appreciate it.
Do you have that all written down in your tablet?
Yeah, pretty much. It's both.
Can you email it to me?
Yeah, if you remind me, I will. Sure.
I'd like to read it again. That's good. Thanks.
Yep.
Peace. Peace. Good morning. So we have clipboards coming, and I think Pete may have something to say about those clipboards. Pete?
Good morning. There's been a change of plans and date for the church picnic because of Nico Humphrey's graduation, which is next Sunday or next Saturday. I was asked to see if we could reschedule it. So we are rescheduling the picnic for the following Saturday, which is the 27th, same time, 6:30. This is potluck, so we will provide you with the basic ingredients. If you'd like to contribute dessert or salad, whatever, or just yourselves, that would be greatly appreciated. So bring all your friends and relatives. All are welcome. Secondly, gentlemen of Advent, we meet tomorrow night at the Burntwood Tavern in North Olmsted, which is just south of 480 on Great Northern Boulevard. The time I said last week was 6:30. We have been delayed because a larger crowd will be seated before us. So we are going to steerage class. So it's going to be like a 15-minute delay, so 6:45. If you get there at 6:30, that's fine. If you want to come earlier, scout the place out, all the best. So hopefully we'll see you all there, as many of you as can come. for good conversation and good food. And with that in mind, we all know what Tuesday is.
Tuesday.
50 years ago, we, the universe, left Earth to walk on the moon.
Just a quick note from Jason reminded me. He came in to clean, and there were lights on in the church, and the office door was open. Please, if you come in during the week, even if you don't go out that door, quickly check the doors, make sure everything's locked up, and please check the lights, because I'll be just like your father. We're not lighting up the world here, folks. We have to pay for that electricity. Make sure the lights are out when you leave. Quick check. Thank you.
I'm pleased to report that the healing room started last Tuesday night. Bill Benedict and his team were there. Several people from Advent came. It's a good start to the ministry, Bill. Thank you for your leadership of that. And if you have needs for healing, 7 to 8:30, the second Tuesday of each month. So second Tuesday in August. Also today, we will be doing intercessory prayer after the 10 o'clock service. Somebody seemed to get a bit wordy in the adventures and went on and on and on about intercessory prayer. I don't know who that was, but seriously, come join us. There's a sign-up sheet on the table outside the rear entrance to the church. If you want to write down the first name against any different prayer needs that you or others that you know have, and the intercessory prayer team will then be praying for those not only this Sunday, but during the month to come. Again, intercessory prayer on the second Sunday of each month. Peace be with you.
Just a couple of brief comments before we continue with receiving the offering. One trite, one hopefully not so trite. There was a shower here, a pre-wedding shower here yesterday. There's leftover cake, which you're welcome to share after the service, along with the coffee that Leonard prepared. And secondly, a really good thing that will happen from the healing rooms is we'll begin to hear testimonies of what God does. Can't wait to hear that. Let's now present our offerings to the Lord.
To serve. and brothers, united in love.
Wendy and Dar, thank you. We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened up to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he had given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has come.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts, O Lord. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now please join with me in praying the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God are for the people of God, and I invite you to come in faith to receive. Please join with me in the closing prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Faith of our fathers is 558, not 588. Thanks.
Better week. healthier.
Oh, I don't think so.
John. No, I agree, Marilyn. My goodness. Have a good week.
And my arm, my skin. I'm hearing.
I told you, quit playing baseball.
One thing or another.
Yeah, it is. Have a good week.
You too.
And let's watch the Tribe win today.
I hope they do.
All right.
Yeah, when we're close by, she misses us.